can take out your Bibles this morning. Andrew Moody is going to be reading from God's Word and leading us to Christ from James chapter 3.
Please be turning with me to James chapter 3. Right after Hebrews, near the back. James chapter 3, I'll be reading it in its entirety. This is God's holy, inspired word for you. Please now give it your full and divided attention as it is read. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us with your holy word. We thank you for disciplining us with it, for being with us by the power of your Spirit, who inspired it and who will open our eyes and hearts this morning to receive it. Be with us in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, David preached on the following chapter of James. James chapter 4, regarding whispering or gossip. He said that in his opinion, gossip and the slander that it spreads are the root of the majority of the conflicts that we have in the church. And I agree. I've been looking at James chapter 3 for several months on my own, studying it because of painful situations I've been involved with this year in other churches that are being torn apart by this kind of thing. And when he decided to preach on James chapter 4, I said, well, here's my chance to put together a sermon on this passage I've been reading and meditating on. We are all susceptible to it. We are curious as to what's going on behind closed doors. So we listen. We listen to the gossip. And we speculate, even though we know it is none of our business. In our ignorance, we form opinions on the matter. And then we perpetuate the gossip to others, while we ourselves have only half-truths. Even simply listening to gossip is participating in it. You see, a gossip does not exist without anyone to listen to them or to share in their gossiping. They need a grapevine to be a part of, to continue to indulge this sinful obsession. They need sources for information, and they need listeners who will then pass the slander on. Brothers and sisters, do not be a part of this. Do not allow such a gossip network to exist among you. It is a poisonous weed that will choke the life out of this body. In verses 1 to 2, James addresses first the leaders of the church, those called to rule and to teach, the elders of the church. And he says they must be extremely careful to guard their speech, because their speech is meant to build up, to exhort, to admonish, to benefit the body. An elder with loose lips can cause terrible harm to the entire body. Likewise, the members of the church aren't to know the details of a crisis or a discipline issue that the session is dealing with inside the body. Rather, you're called upon to trust your elders to do the task that God has called them to and that you have elected them to and they have been ordained to by the power of the Spirit. To assume the best of them in these situations and not the worst, because they take their task very, very seriously. And they love you. They love you, they love your family, and they want what is best for you. To gossip about a matter that the session is working through is especially destructive. And this is because the matter should remain private, according to God's word. The session is not at liberty to discuss the matter with you or anyone else. And once rumors begin, it is impossible for the session to combat them, precisely because to do so would be to violate the very biblical principle of unnecessarily widening the circle of involvement, keeping the matter private. So trust your elders. If they offend you, if they sin against you, and as James has said, we all do. We all do at times. We offend each other. We sin against each other in many different ways. If this happens, the proper recourse is to go to them directly. Do not discuss it with others first. Do not gather up an army to go before them. If you have been offended, go to the brother that offends you. Go to them directly. And if you can't come to an agreement with him on the matter, Matthew says, then you have the right to appeal to another brother. You have the right to appeal to the presbytery, a larger neutral body of men who will review the matter for you. Gossip is never an option. It is always destructive, and it is a most divisive sin. James gives us some examples. He says that a horse, this large, majestic animal, is governed by its mouth. Horses are very large and powerful animals, and if you're not careful around them, you can get hurt. You can get kicked, you can get bucked, you can get killed. Anyone who's spent a little bit of time around them knows you need to respect their power. And yet a bridle that holds in place the bit in the horse's mouth can effectively control the movements of this large beast. And you can hold the reins on either side and move it this way and that, cause it to go, cause it to stop. By controlling its mouth, you effectively control the entire horse. In the same manner, think of a large ship on the ocean, able to sail around the world, to sustain huge storms, to withstand hits from huge, powerful waves. Kids, do you know what you call the part of the boat that actually steers it? Do you know what that's called? A rudder. Excellent. I mean, you have the wheel that the captain sits at and turns. But what that's controlling is the rudder. It's just, in the old days, a simple piece of wood or a simple flat piece of metal that sits down into the water and turns from side to side. And that simple piece of the boat controls where it goes. Where the captain turns the wheel and it moves the rudder, that's where the ship goes. And if the rudder breaks, you're in big trouble. You can't control where you're going. James says in verse 5, just like the bit and the bridle on a horse or the rudder on a ship, the tongue is a very small part of your body. Yet, it is extremely powerful. He throws in a third analogy. Kids, do you know what it takes to burn down an entire forest? To burn down an entire forest. I mean, a huge forest. Would it take an atomic bomb? Or you know, a dozen guys with flamethrowers walking through to torch the whole thing to the ground? It only takes one little spark. That's all it takes. One little spark. One little flame to destroy an entire forest. That's why we have things like burn bans in effect. With the danger of having one tiny spark, one tiny flame. Maybe somebody used a match and throws it down and they think it's out. And before you know it, you have a wildfire. That's all that's needed to burn down an entire building, to burn down an entire city, to burn down an entire forest. Here, James has hit on the perfect metaphor. He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is like fire. Fire consumes and destroys everything in its path. In the panhandle, you understand the danger of fires better than a lot of people. The fires we had earlier this year destroyed hundreds of thousands of acres and killed over 10,000 head of cattle, according to the news. How were these fires started? By just a small spark. Maybe a thrown-out cigarette, a trailer with a flat tire throwing sparks onto the side of the road, or a lightning strike. And yet they destroy hundreds of thousands of acres. The whispering wind carries those flames at frightening speed through the plains as they destroy. This is a picture of the kind of destruction that can be done by your tongue. Now, kids, I ask you, if you saw, for instance, this banner behind me on fire. If you look behind me and you're like, it's on fire. What do we do? What would you do? What would you do if you saw that banner on fire? Would you just kind of sit there and be like, ooh, that's kind of cool. Would you just kind of marvel at it and watch it grow and watch it burn, watch the colors, watch it creep up the sides to the wood? What would you do? Would you call out for help? Maybe you would go and you would get some marshmallows. And you would just, oh, I think I'll roast some marshmallows on it as it burns. And I'll make some s'mores here because that'll make the sermon go faster. Is that what you would do? No, you wouldn't do that. You know how dangerous fire is. And you're not even supposed to play with it, even in a sermon. You know that fire is dangerous and it's not to be played with. It's destructive. You would draw attention to it. You would call out for help. If it got out of control, you would call the fire department to come and to help you with their special equipment to put out the fire. Participating in gossip, spreading slander, saying bad things about people to other people, participating in that is just as destructive as roasting marshmallows while everything is being destroyed all around you. Wouldn't you care to call for help to get water to put out the fire? Or are you going to sit there and enjoy it as it burns? This church, you, the people, are far more important than any building, far more precious and far more flammable. If this building burned to the ground today, you could build another one. Gossip, the unrighteous tongue that spews the fire of unrighteousness, as James says, does not burn down buildings. It burns down people. It destroys the church. It destroys the people. It destroys you, the body of Jesus Christ. It burns with an invisible fire. It's easy to see that a building is on fire, but the fire of unrighteousness is far more secret and subversive. It does not roar. It whispers. The church may be burning down around you right now as we speak. Don't you realize it? Will you do nothing to stop it? To beat back the flames? To cry out for help? Or will you look at your brothers and sisters in the face as their bodies burn? And will you hold out your marshmallows over them as they are consumed? We are called to save each other from this kind of fire. Jude chapter 1 verse 18 and following says, "They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." I want you to consider your tongue for a moment. Think about your tongue. Move it around in your mouth a little bit. Run it across your teeth. Curl it. Push it against your cheek. Are you scared of it? Do you feel threatened by it? Are you intimidated by it? Humor me for a moment. If you feel comfortable doing so, stick out your tongue. Go ahead, stick it out of your mouth. What are you afraid of? It's just your tongue. We all have them. Look around. Are you afraid of the tongues of the people around you? Are you frightened by them? Are you scared by them? We've all got one. Are you in fear of the tongues in this room? I wonder what your reaction would be if I had asked you who have them to unholster your concealed handguns and to brandish them and show them to everyone else. You'd be a bit more nervous, wouldn't you? You're far more afraid of a handgun than you are of your neighbor's tongue. However, your tongue is far more dangerous than a firearm, or even a raging wildfire. It is anger and resentment that give birth to slander. When you're offended by someone, we've talked about that you need to go directly to that person. And this is the only option that Scripture gives you as a Christian. If you do not go to that person, you have chosen disunity rather than unity. You see, because if you don't go to them, you choose a path that cuts out the possibility of reconciliation. If you hold it in, if you keep it to yourself, if you try to ball it up, you are cutting off the possibility of being reconciled with this person that has obviously hurt you. They've offended you, whether or not they meant to. Whether or not they did it maliciously, maybe it was a misunderstanding. You've been offended. And you have to go to them. Without forgiveness, without reconciliation, you will be left with anger and hurt that most certainly always leads to bitterness. Even worse than just not going to that person and leaving it inside of yourself is going to someone else instead. This is gossip. You are already angry and hurt, so you have lost objectivity. Even if you think you're perfectly objective in what you're doing, when you're angry and you're hurt, you've lost objectivity. You will mischaracterize the situation and will paint the other person in the worst possible light in order to get back at them and to cause them pain in this subversive way. You will damage their reputation and launch attacks on their character. This is called character assassination. Most people who engage in this activity feel justified in doing it because of their own wounds. They hurt me. Now I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to tell everyone what a horrible person they are, and so everyone will think less of them. There is no justification for such sinful slander. It might feel good. It might feel good for the moment to get back at that other person, to hurt them. But it is sinful and it is divisive. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Gossip is an attempt to overcome by evil. It is an attempt to get at somebody. It is an attempt to take vengeance. And Scripture clearly tells you, don't do it. Not only do you hurt the other person and those that you spread the gossip to, but in the long run, you hurt yourself for the same reasons I've already mentioned. You will become bitter because of the lack of forgiveness and reconciliation. James says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. And this world of unrighteousness, full of every kind of evil, James says, is united to your body. It's placed in your mouth. And he says that it stains your body. And it sets on fire the course of your life by the fire of hell. It is set ablaze to be consumed, to be destroyed by your tongue. Are you scared yet? Have you begun to wonder about the powerful muscle that lives in your mouth? Have you begun to respect its destructive power? James says that your tongue is a stain on your body and that by it your entire life is set on fire by hell. It is as if the vast fires of hell have found a single vent into this world, and that vent is in your mouth. He says it can't be tamed. Out of every creature that God has made on the land, the sea, and the sky, there is not one that cannot be tamed. You can go to the zoo and you can see lions and sharks and whales and birds. And they've all been tamed with the proper time and the proper training and conditioning. But the human tongue is untamable. It is an evil, he says, that does not rest. It is a vigilant, restless evil. It is an evil that can't keep still. It is always ready to commit spiritual arson. It is full of deadly poison, he says. Though it seems harmless, it is as poisonous and deadly as a rattlesnake or as a black widow spider. Some of the most deadly creatures in the world are small and seemingly innocent and insignificant. They look harmless. The tongue also looks harmless enough. And yet, it can't be caged. It can't be fully controlled. Although you were called as a Christian to put a bit in your mouth, to be bridled by God's word, to control what you say. James has leveled some very serious accusations against your tongue. He says it is a fire. It's untamable evil. It's deadly poison. And now in verses 9 to following, he explains why. It is used both to bless God and also to curse man who is created in his image. To bless God, but then to curse the crown of his creation created in his own image and likeness. He says, these things ought not to be so. It is vile. It is hypocritical. It spews forth blessings and curses. At the same time, it builds up. It tears down. This is wrong, he says. Does salt water come out of a freshwater spring? Your hearts are to be springs of fresh water. And to spew salt water from your mouth is wrong. Fig trees don't produce olives, he says. You who are redeemed in Christ, who have been given a new heart, who are freed from bondage to sin and being renewed in the knowledge, righteousness, and holiness of God, ought not to slander, ought not to gossip. You who have been united together into one body by the Holy Spirit ought not to use your tongues to poison the body, to rip it apart. Your heart should produce the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of unrighteousness. With the same mouth that you have used to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, would you then slander your brother or sister for whom Christ died? With the same mouth that you pray to God, would you speak poorly of your pastor? With the same mouth that you use to sing God's praises, would you then speak disparagingly of the elders God has placed over you and whom you have vowed to submit to in the Lord? You might have heard it put this way. Would you kiss your mother with that mouth? Well, it's as if James is saying, would you kiss your Savior with that mouth? Just like Judas did. Would you seek to tear apart the body of Christ, which you have been united to by the Holy Spirit? Would you seek to undo the Spirit's work of unity? Paul says to the Ephesians, the end of chapter 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. He says, put it all away. The slander, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor. Spit it out of your mouth. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. If you can do this, if you can strive to do this, to put those things away and to do the things he says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You who have been forgiven much ought to forgive much. For those who like to play with fire, Scripture warns you seriously that your God is a consuming fire and that He keeps a jealous watch over His Son's bride. If you play with the fire of slander and gossip, you will yourself get burned. You will reap the consequences. He says a salty, evil heart can't produce truly fresh water. The cursing tongue reveals the bitter root of the heart, the sinful rebellion, the unbelief that is locked up inside. And there are new and improved tools available today for spiritual arsonists. The internet has become a firestorm of destruction as slander is broadcast through email and posted for everyone to see on websites and blogs. This virtual reality causes real destruction and devastation. Be very careful what you read and what you write online. He continues in verses 13 to 14. So how then should you live? The way of wisdom is a life lived in humble obedience to God's will. If your heart is filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, he says, do not boast. Don't pretend to be spiritual while living a lie, being false to the truth, he says. Don't be a hypocrite. Being jealous, being filled with selfish ambition, these are signs of discontentment. Are you happy with what God has chosen to give you? Ask yourself that question. Are you happy with what God has chosen to give you? It is only when you are unhappy with God's providence in your life that you become jealous, that you begin to lust after things that are not yours, things that you want and you can't have. And then you become angry because you can't get what you want and others have them. Others have the job you want, the house you want, the money you want, the family you want. So you resent them. And you begin to grow to hate them. The bitter jealousy that James speaks of, he says, this doesn't come from God. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Meaning that it is the spirit of division, the spirit of hatred, animosity, bitterness, jealousy, and it is of the devil. It is demonic. It is the behavior of a demon. It is fiendish and it is profane. And he says, wherever you find jealousy and selfish ambition, wherever those exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Those are strong words. He says, wherever you find these things, wherever you find people that are bitter, that are jealous, you will also find disorder and every vile practice. Why is this? Why is this so? Because when you are consumed with bitterness and jealousy, you are more consumed with what you want and what you get than how you live. More concerned with being served than serving others. More concerned with how you can rise in the ranks rather than esteeming others as better than yourselves in humility and seeking to build them up. Jealousy and selfish ambition lead to all kinds of sinful acts, especially gossip. In contrast to what James calls demonic wisdom, the wisdom from above, he says, is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is open to reason. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It is impartial and it is sincere. It lives at peace with others with a kind and gentle spirit. It is not blinded by greed or selfish ambition. It is open to reason. It is abounding in mercy and forgiveness. The work of this man bears good fruits. Others are built up and encouraged by his actions. He is impartial. He doesn't take sides. like a gossip would. He is sincere. He isn't false. He doesn't pretend. You know that he means what he says. And when he tells you that he's there for you and that he loves you and cares for you, you know that he means it. For those who seek to live this godly life, to be peacemakers, not spiritual arsonists, you are called upon to sow peace in the lives of others, to be a peacemaker, to sow peace, he says, and that the whole body then will reap a harvest of righteousness. As you sow peace in each other's lives, we will all reap a harvest of righteousness. What comes out of your mouth is ultimately a reflection of what is in your heart. Christ has given himself for you to be reconciled with God. He sent his Spirit to live in you, to be powerfully working inside of you, to make you holy, so that more and more you can put to death sin in your heart and to turn from it to serve the living God, to honor and to glorify him in your heart and in your life, to give your heart over to jealousy, selfish ambition, and bitterness is to work against the Spirit dwelling within you. The process of sanctification is not done for you. It is done in you. You can't do it alone. The Spirit must work in you, but it is not done apart from your putting your fullest effort into it. Paul says, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. You participate in the process. If you struggle with this, if you struggle with gossip, with anger, with bitterness inside of you, I urge you to seek help. Don't allow it to consume you. Go to your elders. Bring it to them so they can pray with you and they can help you to overcome that sin in your life by God's grace. Let go of your anger. Let go of your resentments. They're hurting you. They are haunting you. Let them go and seek the life, the love, and the fellowship of the body so that you can dwell together in the peace of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we love you. We who are your sinful children, you know us. You know our hearts. You know our struggles. You know our sins. Every thought that we think badly about our brother or sister, every word that we speak that's disparaging, that seeks to tear down and not to build up. You know them all. Forgive us. Father, we pray that you glue us together with the bond of love by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you preserve your body. Keep us from destruction. Preserve your church, Lord. It is yours. You have built it. And we pray now that you be with us in your power, that you would help us to let go of our bitterness, to let go of our resentments, Lord. Yes, we've been hurt. People have wounded us, and we have held on to it. And we have thought badly about others where we should not have. And we've spoken poorly about others where we should not have. And we have been an instrument of destruction. Father, we are all guilty. Help us to be obedient children, to simply obey your commandments, to not seek vengeance, but to seek to build even our enemies up, even those who we are at odds with, to seek their good, to seek to be a blessing to them. Father, this is not easy for us. We need your help. We need your powerful Holy Spirit to work in us, to change our hearts. Help us. Lord, cleanse us of our rage. Cleanse us of our anger. Cleanse us of our bitter resentments. Help us to start afresh as your body. Help us to look at our brothers and sisters in a new light with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.